June go? I mean, it was like just gone, and Hallmark showing their Christmas movies already. And how many watched some of those last year? Anybody watch those? Well, we watched a few. 100. I was like, honey, haven't we seen this one? No, we haven't. Yes, because right here, this is when, you know, she was the businesswoman of the big, and she goes to the small town, and her ex-boyfriend's there, but the guy that takes care of the horses catches her eye, and then at the end, they have a misunderstanding, and they kiss, and then the snow falls. I said, you know, is that true joy? Is that, that's like the same, they have that same pattern, you know? I'm thinking, hey, I've written a few plays, why don't you call me, I'll write a few things for you, you know? Won't charge you a lot, amen. I want to talk tonight about faith worketh by love. And I wanted to be down here because I want to kind of, just kind of talk this. I don't feel like preaching tonight. But how many believe that love is so important in this day we're in? You know, it's quite a thing to think about that Paul talks about, that our faith can only be energized by this one thing. And it's interesting, I want to talk about that tonight. Galatians 5 verse 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Lord, bless this word tonight to each one of us. Help us to have more understanding in Jesus' name. And everyone said, here's a way to put it in the natural. The heart works because of electrical signals. Faith worketh by love. Our heart cannot work without electrical impulses. Faith cannot work without the impulses of God's love. If we want greater faith, is it possible? We know it's the Word of God that gives us faith, but is it possible our love life needs to come up a little bit? Yeah, and I'm not talking about romantic love. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians, patience, kindness, gentleness. Doesn't record when others make mistakes. Is it possible that our faith has been limited because we've not maybe grown in certain areas? How many believe you could be a little more patient? All you got to do is get on 95 for a little while and you'll see how patient you are. I mean, every day I have to watch myself from saying this out loud. Where do these people get their licenses? I mean, they're coming over here and around here. But so please don't pass me and cut me off. What was Pastor saying there? And anyway, how many believe that God wants our faith to be strong? In the hour we're living in, he wants it to be strong. So Paul said, I want you to know that faith only can be energized by love. Now, let's talk about the three things here. First of all, we just talked about faith works by love. It's working when you're loving. And when we are not loving, it's not working. You know, you need faith in your marriage. Help me, Lord. So if I want my faith to work, I need to make sure my love is working also. Second thing, faith is energized. I remember that Energizer Bunny. Remember, he's energized. If I want to stir my faith, I got to stir my love first. If I'm harboring anything, unforgiveness, there's no way my faith is going to be released. If I'm harboring something or an attitude, I got to get the love back. Amen. And the third thing, faith is put into motion. Remember that dance years ago, that song, everybody's doing locomotion? Some of you kids, younger kids, don't know what I'm talking about. How many know what I'm talking about, that song? Everybody's doing a brand new dance, yeah. Come on, baby, do the locomotion. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I got some soul in me. Come on out, you know what I'm saying? All I need is a little organ. I could, you know, really sing that song. Amen. Locomotion. Don't you like motion? Faith. Wow. It's put into motion. That's energized. And we're going to talk about it. Paul said, listen, I'm going to show you my faith by my works. Faith needs an outlet, but it doesn't need just to be busy. That's where Martha made the mistake. She thought, okay, I'm going to use my faith. I'm going to cook dinner for Jesus. I don't know if he's going to eat it, but I'm going to cook it. But the problem is, it wasn't motivated by love. Maybe it was motivated by, you know, I need him to approve me or approve my works. Faith is entirely dependent upon love to live. And I wrote this down. I need my glasses. Faith is entirely dependent upon love to live. Faith, then, does not work of itself except in the strength of love. Certainly, love cannot flourish except as faith flourishes. The two graces must diminish or increase together. We must obtain to simple childlike confidence which rests in Christ. Faith is totally dependent on people we love. You know why? When I stop loving, have you noticed this? And if you've been a Christian more than 5 minutes, have you noticed that when you get hurt or rejected or disappointed or something happens in an interpersonal relationship that kind of just heaves you, have you noticed that you don't feel like a great faith person at that moment? Have you noticed at that moment you don't feel like binding the devil, you don't feel like fighting giants? It's because the love element there, not that it was suppressed, but it's kind of like been jilted. And, you know, rejection is one of the most powerful tools the devil uses. If you feel rejected and you embrace that, which we all have, it really messes up how much you love. Because what I have found out in my own personal life, through the years, through the decades, when I've dealt with rejection, I want to withdraw. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to run anybody if I feel rejected. It's kind of interesting because the opposite should be happening. It should be when I feel rejection, I should try to find people that love me, that I really know that love me. But there's something innocent wants to withdraw. And that's because my faith also has been hindered, so I don't have the confidence to go find somebody because it's like, well, is there anybody that loves me? See, my faith, I don't have the confidence, the faith to go there because of that rejection. Who am I talking to? Now, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, and this is the Amplified Bible. So I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. So if it's too loud, just turn your thing down, okay? That was a joke, by the way. Amplified. Oh. Okay. 1 Corinthians 13, 7. Let's describe love here. First of all, love bears up under anything and everything that comes. All I can say to that is yikes. I wish I bared up over everything with the right love and kindness. How many know it's a process we're growing? But see, this is like a compass to tell us, am I in emotion or am I in unconditional love? Not that they both can't work together, but I find out that if I totally get into emotion and not unconditional love, I really have a time with my faith. So he says, love bears up all under everything. It hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. The other translation, hopeth all things. Hopes all things. Hopes what? Hopes all things are going to get better. All things are going to get better. Amen. All things. It endures everything without weakening. Love doesn't get weak. Doesn't mean that I might not be physically weak, but it means that I'm not going to give up. And then it says love never fails. Never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. It never fails. God wants us to walk in love. And yesterday I took the Chevrolet to the Chevrolet dealer The sunroof, it was working, but there's a thing that comes under it like a curtain that blocks the sun out. And I've been, and if I don't do it, the car gets 1,000 degrees. So I went there, and he said, "Well, you know, the piece and all that stuff," gave me the estimate. And he goes, "But let me just tell you," because he was a repairman, he goes, "Just go home and get 2 little screws and put them right up there." He said, "It'll save you $1,500. I said, thank you. But while I was there, there was a brother in the Lord, and he goes to the African Methodist Church. AMI, is it AMT? But he had 2 Chronicles 7:14 on his shirt. And I said, "That was my bishop's favorite scripture." And for the next half hour, 30 minutes, man, we had an awesome time. I said, "Yeah." I said, "I've been to Africa 4 times. I said, "You go over there." I remember one time I went, and, you know, they have a 2-hour worship service. And then I preached for like 50 minutes, and I thought I was done. And so the pastor comes up there, or the bishop that was over there came up and goes, "You're just getting a 5-minute break, right?" I said, yeah, I just wanted to, because, I mean, they want the word over there. They don't have what we've got, but they've got God. I love hanging around people who've got more of God than I do. I love being around people that have sold everything out. And I tell you, you go to Africa or India, some of these nations, it's amazing. It's astounding when you come back and say, "Lord, you really have blessed our nation," but we can't let that blessing take place of a passion and a desire to see salvations. You see, I think everybody should go overseas at least once in their life for a mission trip and just see what's on the other side. God wants us to walk in love. Love never fails. He wants the best for us. How many of you know that you're at your best when you're loved? How many know we're at our worst when we're not? It has nothing to do with your hair got colored. I finally got a haircut. I haven't had one since January. That's why I look strange. No, yes, this is Bill. This is not Bob, his twin brother. Yeah, this is me. But anyway, I know some of you are wondering, okay, we have a new preacher in town. But anyway, when you love, you're at your best. Someone else might be more talented and might better looking, so what? But if they're not loving and you are loving, you're at your best and they are not. The best is found in love. We must walk in love in order to receive God's best. That's pretty much the same thing. Honoring Him, forgive, and walk in the fruit of the Spirit. This is how we walk in love. First of all, how many believe we need to honor God above everything? We need to forgive. Forgiveness has a lot to do with love, doesn't it? I find out this. The more mature in love I am, the quicker I am to forgive. And how many know sometimes it's not easy to say those words, "Forgive me"? It's easy to teach it. And here's a little thing I want you to remember. And I think this is very relevant to where all of us are with family things, friends. When someone leaves you, make sure they leave you with you loving them. Let me say that again. When someone leaves you, family, friend, whatever, you know, they're not going to be with you, they're no longer in your acquaintance, whatever, make sure they leave you with you or us loving them. In other words, guess what? I love you. I'm not going to talk about you. I'm not going to tear your name down. It didn't work out. But I want you to know you're loved. I'm not going to tear your name. I'm not going to talk about you. I'm not going to get on the phone because I'm releasing you in love. I mean, that's how we must live. Because not everybody likes me and you. Not everybody wants to be. Some people, it's time for a change. But Debbie and I, over the years, pastoring all the churches and dealing with everything, we've made it our aim that when someone leaves, they're going to leave. We're going to make sure they know they're left with love and they don't have to worry if we're going to talk about them. See, because I'm going to stay in love so I can stay in faith, Because it's only by faith we overcome. This is the confidence we have in Him, the faith that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And what else? This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. If I'm not overcoming the world, am I because my faith is halted? But I need to go back and see if I'm really walking in love. Because if I am, I don't record wrongs of others. I don't hold grudges. I don't talk about others. That's not love. So if I'm going to overcome the world with my faith, man, I got to make sure my love talk is as sincere as my faith talk. Mm-hmm. And how do you express love? Well, of course, thoughtfulness, but we express love by words. God has 66 books to express His love to us. James 2:7, I want to tie this in real quick. James 2:17, excuse me. So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Now it's very easy when we read this to get a visual picture of just us serving, works, doing. And I do believe in the physical practicality of our stewardship by serving. But the question here, if you tie this into the first text about faith worketh by love, Paul wasn't just saying, look at all the churches I've started, look at all the things. In the works was Paul's love for these churches. He said, the more I love you, the less I am loved. He said that to the Corinthian church. You see, he said, I'm willing to take my eyes out for you, Galatians. So in the works, it's not just my busyness. It's in the love of God are the works coming out of that. Do people sense the love of God when I'm serving, when I'm preaching, when I'm singing, whatever is the love of God there? That's what Paul was trying to say. It's not just busyness. And I'm going to liken that to five things here. Number one, works of compassion. I remember the story of the Good Samaritan. Huh? The priest walked by, the Levite walked by, the Samaritan, which the Jews hated the Samaritans, says, hey, he didn't know the guy. Put him in there, took care of him, gave him money, compassion. How many believe we need some works of compassion? The church must be recognized as a people of compassion. How about mercy? Second thing. How many need mercy? You know why we need it? Because it's new every morning. We need mercy every morning. So the love of God is not only compassionate, it's showing mercy. And you only show mercy to someone who actually doesn't need, actually should be judged, or actually you could form a bad opinion about him, but you show him mercy. Because if not, then it wouldn't be mercy. You're showing mercy to someone who really should have a sentence passed on them. How about the woman at the well? Jesus said, well, you know what? You've had five husbands and you're shacking up with one right now, but I look past that because I see in your heart that you want God. And if you get me, then that'll take care of the sin. Sometimes we want to take care of the sin and people don't have enough of Jesus. You get enough of Jesus, it takes care of the sin. And that's why you have to be careful that you don't just hammer people with sin and make them feel sin conscious. If they get more of Jesus, they'll get rid of the sin. And that's something, law and grace. And see, the church of Galatia had that problem. They didn't start that way. Paul went there. He said, listen, the law works wrath here, folks. It doesn't mean that we shall sin abound, that shall we continue to sin that grace may abound. No, it doesn't mean, but the formula is not just to point out people's sins. That doesn't have enough power for them to change. The only thing that can help us change is a person. Jesus will. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't preach against sin and all that, but I've been to, over the years, been to different things, and the whole message is sin, and I got done. I felt like, I was bad and guilty, and there might have been like, it was like eating jalapeno peppers, they're good, I love them, they're good sliced up on the pizza, but they're not good just to take one and eat one. In other words, if you're going to tell me about sin and how short I come up and I don't make it, fine, but put it on the pizza of mercy, because I'm not going to feel much hope. Talking to myself. Third thing, works of helps. The Bible lists that as one of the things. Help. How many know people need help today? You know one thing, I am surprised, and I told this Pastor Deb, because about 2 weeks ago up in, where is that food bank? Chesterfield. You know that food bank at Chesterfield? We went by it one day, and I'm telling you, the line was half a mile, two rows, half a mile. Police and everything. And I was thinking, I'm really surprised we've not had more people come to the church and ask for food. We've had a few, but I'm just surprised at that. That all those people, of course we're not in Chesterfield, but see, feeding people is one of the helps. When Paul first started his ministry, James, Peter, and John told him, remember the poor. He said, well, we're anxious to do that. Amen. I want to get back to, when we can, to the food giveaways. We were doing that. It's on schedule. Just the virus shut everything down. How about works of supporting? Who in here doesn't need support? Anybody? Don't we all need to be supported? There's no Superman. There's no Superwoman. Somewhere we need someone to support us. And I'm going to tell you one of the biggest things we need support. We just need a kind word. A kind word will lift the burden. Heaviness of a man weighs him down, but a kind word lifts him. Support. And just because someone's smiling and they're praising the Lord doesn't mean, they might be given the sacrifice of praise, but inside they're just waiting for someone to say something kind to them. And that's love. See, that's my faith in action. Last one, it goes with that, is encouragement. Encourage one another as you see the day approaching. Why do we need to encourage one another? Because these days are not very pleasant at times. That we, if everything was just a skip through the park in the last days and everything was just ice cream and cake, there'd be no reason to be encouraged. If everything was just wings, amen. If everything was just new dresses, new hairdos. But no, I only need encouragement when my courage is being assaulted or it's trying to be covered up by a cloud to break my focus. So Paul said, encourage one another as you see the day coming. I didn't even know we were getting thunderstorms in Colonial Heights. We had a couple big ones today. But there are times you can see it approaching. I remember last year I was doing my walk. I walked a little bit today, but I remember, I kind of thought I saw a thunderstorm. Sure. And so I started walking. I got down by Food Lion, I think, and then I turned around and was like, eeks, didn't see it approaching. So I start walking, and I went about 10 foot, and the clouds. So I find my phone, honey, can you come get me? And she came. But how many know something's approaching? Every day, what's approaching is coming. As you see that day approaching. But also what's approaching is a greater darkness upon the earth, Isaiah chapter 60, a gross darkness. So it's kind of like two things happening at once. You've got the approach of gross darkness, which is deception, which is immorality, which is all that. But you also have the approach of Christ. Faith worketh by love. You got to work this thing. Turn to somebody and say, you got to work this thing. Every time you and I go, let God stretch us beyond our normal patient level. Every time we let God stretch us beyond our normal kindness level. Every time we allow God to cause a deeper endurance of others' wrongs. Let me say that again. Every time God has a deeper endurance of others' wrongs, we are building a love that faith can energize real quickly. Love doesn't record wrongs. Amen. Then Paul says, well, when I was a child, I put things away. Or I thought like a child, acted like one. I'm still amazed at 63 sometimes, that some areas of my life, not drastic, but you know what, I should be thinking a little differently than that. Am I the only one? Am I the only one here? And I realize that God doesn't call perfect people. He calls people to grow. Abraham lied twice about Sarah. God used him. Doesn't mean it was right. God wants to use us in a new capacity of faith. A new faith to believe what we have only been hoping for. But we must check the simplicity and the childlikeness of our own love one to each other. Is it real? Is it genuine? Is it growing? Is it real? Is it genuine? Is it growing? If it is, then we can use our faith to another level. Because there are levels of faith. There's no faith. There's little faith. There's great faith. And there's perfect faith. So there are levels we can live in so that when things outwardly try to shake our lives, we can walk with a smile. We can walk with joy. We can walk knowing that all the things happened to our forefathers, all the clouds of witnesses that are in heaven had to walk the same walk we've had to, the walk of faith. Nobody gets exempt from walking the walk of faith. And because I'm born again and saved and filled with the Spirit, doesn't mean that I am exempt from walking by faith. So if I'm not exempt from it, then I need to make sure my love life, 1 Corinthians 13, is growing. There's nobody perfect here. Hello? One thing we never want to just try to display to others is that we've arrived. Because the moment I do that, I have closed myself to a relationship. You can't have a relationship with somebody that's arrived. Now, we've come a long way. And God's heart, and I'm going to close with this, God's heart is that each of us would strengthen each other. Because, see, you've been through things I've not been through. And you've learned things. I've been through things you've not been through. But you might face those, and I might be able to impart to you some things, strategies to help you when you face them. I've never faced the death of a spouse. I've faced the death of my parents. That's going to be whole new territory. There's things I've not faced, and my wife hasn't, and you and I haven't faced, but there's someone in this church that has. So the members should have care one for another, Paul said. Because, see, the hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. We do need each other. And there might be times you don't need the hand, but there are other times you do need the hand. I know I need the hands when I'm ready to eat. I want my hands ready. Feet, just be quiet. You know what I'm saying? I need those hands. I need the eyes too. Amen. So, if we can care one for another on a different level, then we come together to release faith for whatever God puts before us. The faith is there. And we don't have to go back and wait. Well, I don't know. Can God do this? And see, that's walking by faith, and that's what pleases God. And when God's pleased, He opens whatever request we have, He gives to us. He doesn't give it to me because I just beg Him or just cry or tell Him how bad I got it. That's not faith. But you know what? We go through that process. And we come to the place where we believe whatsoever we ask, we receive, because we do those things which are pleasing in His sight. What are those things? Those five things I listed: compassion, mercy. Those are pleasing to God. And sometimes we think, I just have perfect performance and I say, do everything just right, God will love me. Not true. God loves me regardless of how I act. But He knows He doesn't want to leave us there. God loves us enough not to leave us to ourselves. You see, the devil has nothing on me if I'm left to my own self. I'm my worst enemy if I'm left to myself. How about you? If I'm left to myself, I'm in trouble. So tonight, Rock Church family, you're in a safe place. Welcome home. Welcome home. Family lives together, cries together, laughs together, prays together. The old family reunions, I don't know if we're going to have one this year. We did last year. But man, we had cousins by the dozens. We had everything imaginable. Some good food, though, you know what I'm saying? Gained about 5 pounds, but we came together as a family. Well, that's what a local church should be. We're a family that believes love is the greatest. Faith is how we please God. And we keep hoping for God to fulfill what He said to us. Amen. Let's stand up tonight. Praise the Lord. Would you just lift your hands up? Heavenly Father, tonight we pray that we'll allow our faith to be worked by love. Help each one of us. Lord, we're all in the same boat. There's no one better than anyone else. No one is more valuable than anyone else. Giftings, talents, even anointings don't make us better. Lord, we're all children of God. We pray with a childlike heart, with an inquisitive spiritual hunger. You will cause us to go from glory to glory, individually and collectively, by the Spirit of God. Thank You for this family. Thank You that it was Your providence and Your sovereignty that brought me here. So, Lord, I pray I would be all that You want me to be to this family, to help them on their journey. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.